Good afternoon, Eric Perez, CEO Queensland Seafood Industry Association, welcoming you back to our series on vessel monitoring systems, or VMS. Today on the line we have David Caracciolo joining us from Mackay. How are you, David?
Very good, Eric. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Well, David, by way of introduction, is a director on the QSIA board. He has worked with previous boards with the association. He has retail and wholesaling business interests in the seafood industry as well as licenses in Queensland. So he's got a perspective to give on VMS from definitely from a post-harvest point of view. So, David, if I can throw over to you, what have you seen or what are you hearing are the issues around VMS from your perspective?
Well, I think, Eric, to date, the VMS hasn't been totally explained in detail to the commercial sector from Queensland Fisheries. Now, I'm not sure whether Queensland Fisheries can answer all the questions. I'm not sure if they're up to speed with a lot of the issues that have been brought up. Some of the situations that have been brought up is fishermen work remote areas, as well, most people know, probably the general public don't, but they can be in mangrove areas, you know, they can be in the Gulf of Carpentaria, they can be in Torres Strait, Princess Charlotte Bay, Shellwater Bay, the Great Barrier Reef. Now we're talking vast distances. If any of these apparatuses fail, I'm led to believe from my last question to the Queensland Fisheries representative that you have to virtually, if you're able to come home straight away or cease your activity. Now, that's all good for them to say, but if you're 300 miles out to sea and it's cost you the vicinity of $5,000 to $10,000 to send your boat out to sea, everyone knows that business in Australia today, or small business in Australia, is operating on a smell of an oily rag. How many times does this have to happen before you've got financial difficulties on your plate?
Sure. So are you saying that in the context of things like rising fuel costs?
Oh, well, I'm just talking about if your boat goes to sea, and if the VMS breaks down on the tenders or the mother boat, you have to cease operation and come back to land to rectify that problem. Now, nobody's an electronic technician on the boat, and I'm led to believe these are sealed units, so no one's going to be able to rectify the problem. So if you've got to come back in after so many days, the cost of sending a boat to sea, all the rest of it, it's going to be very non-profitable. So how long can you operate before you become totally non-profitable?
Yeah, okay. Do you get a sense, David, from the questions you've been asking of Fisheries Queensland that we're getting responses to our concerns, or has it become more confused for you? Like, what's the situation?
I don't think we're getting the answers. As I said, I think you may have been at a meeting when I asked one of the representatives quite a few questions, and they couldn't answer me at all. They were taking my way to find out the answers and get back to me, and that was that 3 or 4 weeks ago. I've had no response at all from QF. So in light of that, I'm led to believe it's probably just got shuffled under the carpet, and we'll put it in the drawer and we'll deal with it when it comes up, and it'll be the fisherman's problem.
Yeah, okay. So one of the responses that we've had from the department is that barring any issues with getting their legislation through, the use of VMS on vessels, at least in Queensland, will be law from 1 January. So do you foresee any difficulties in getting technicians out into that deep water in early January to fix units if they break down?
They definitely won't go out in the deep water to fix them. I very much doubt if this does become law, or if it is law by the 1st of January, that this can be actually implemented, because I don't think we can fit them ourselves. You need a technician to fit these, I'm led to believe, and then they've got to be activated. So who was given the job of the fitting? I'm sure that every Tom, Dick and Harry can't fit them, so we're going to need guys that are trained in this field, and in the remote areas, you're not going to have that.
Yeah, okay. So from, again, from a post-harvest perspective, once these things are in, because some of what was discussed at those public hearings that the Queensland Parliament ran to talk about the implementation of changes to the State Fisheries Act, do you foresee issues in terms of supply, or what do you see from a post-harvest sector? This is going, what kind of impact is this going to have? And part of this is some crystal ball gazing here, so I don't expect that you'll have all the answers, because I don't think anybody does at the moment. But as someone who retails and wholesales seafood, do you believe there's going to be an impact on this, on your operations, or on the post-harvest sector more generally?
Well, I just see this as being another implement to erode the supply of seafood to the market and the general public. You know, I don't know what they expect the VMSs to produce for them, a monitoring thing for where the vessels are going to be, but if you look at the infringement, the commercial infringement is minimal compared to the recreational infringement. So all these things are and will implement supply. As I just said, if the VMS breaks down and you're 100 miles from the port, whether you're coastal or whether you're deep water, you virtually have to come home. That's what they're telling us at the moment. Now, whether that's going to be changed or not, I don't know. So if you've got to come home, it means you're forfeited a trip, or you're forfeited so many days, or whatever it's going to take to get the VMS up and working again, or whether you're going to replace it. As I said, I'm not sure how technical these things are to work on or to fix. So yes, it's certainly going to be detrimental to supply if these things aren't reliable, 99% reliable.
Sure. So just going back to something you said before, are you a believer, or do you subscribe to the notion that if the commercial sector is being forced to uptake VMS, that the recreational fishers in contested fisheries should be forced to do the same?
Well, certainly, if this is all about management, and remember the underlying factor here when we started many years ago was the resource. It was about preserving the resource for the future, managing the resource. All I see that's happening in the last 10 years is the resource being managed by one sector. There's three or four stakeholders in the ocean that share the resource, and it seems to be only one sector providing information and getting managed or getting restricted that I can see.
Sure. Part of that is supported, and I'll put the links up to this podcast once we're done, David, that submitters to that review that I talked about before, the parliamentary review from the conservation side of things and from the recreational groups, for example, Sunfish, are talking about compliance. And that's all I can see in the implementation of VMS is a pure compliance program, not management of the stocks, because just if someone can monitor where your vessel is, there is still, it does nothing to assess what is being taken or what is being harvested, just the location that you're in. And so the sell on this is not about stock sustainability or managing stock better. It's about knowing where commercial fishermen are at any given point in time. And if it's about that, then we're not the only ones hitting those stocks along the coast, particularly in fisheries where, like I said before, I don't know if contested is the right word, but where there are recreational fishers taking as much, if not more, of the same species that we're commercially harvesting.
Totally. You know, a VMS is not going to manage whether you're taking undersized fish, protected species, whatever the scenario might be. A VMS is not there to count fish or to take pictures of fish, to my understanding. It's there only to give the authorities your position. Now, if they're worried about the fishermen being in green areas or closed areas, from my belief that 99 or 98% of the industry is self-policing because they've got too much at stake. Their livelihood's at stake. The fines are quite horrendous. But also, they look after and they try and farm their resource for the future, even though that's becoming hard because of the closed areas that have been forced upon the commercial sector. They can't use the farming mentality in the ocean. Now they're condensed into smaller areas. So that way of thinking and that style of operating is probably gone. But a VMS, and I said, I don't know that the fisheries underlying agenda for the VMS, but I'm sure that there is not that many commercial operators that are operating in closed or green or whatever pink zones that they have. What you do is have a look at the apprehensions. And some of it's by accident. When you're out the reef, you're crossing a green zone or whatever the scenario might be, and they're led to believe that they've been, you know, fishing that area. But I certainly can't see their theory behind that. And the coastal guys, we've only got a handful of blokes left in the industry that are operating, and so we've got an ageing industry to boot. So all we're doing is putting more and more restrictions, complications, paperwork, hindrances on those guys that are left, and I see them very soon just throwing their hands in the air and just saying it's all too hard. And if that's what the Queensland government and the successive governments of Australia are looking for, well, I think they're winning.
Oh, okay. So just as an aside to this, and I guess VMS is an important issue, the recent announcements in Victoria about what's happening down in the Gippsland Lakes area, have you got any views on that?
Well, I haven't read the whole the article, but yeah, I'm led to believe that they've stopped, and I'm not sure when it comes into place, but all commercial activity in the Gippsland Lakes. Now, I'm not sure how many operators are left there that are operating, but I'm led to believe there's not a real lot.
10 is what the number is, yeah, 10 net fishers, I think.
So, you know, it's all just political. That's the problem with the whole industry. It's all about politics and vote winning. And when we entered the MRAG review under the Newman government, we were led to believe that they were trying to get the politics out of the industry, and the result of the MRAG report was to set up MACs and ZACs along the coast that it would advise, we would consult with all sectors of the industry, of the stakeholders, and that would go back to the ministers to consider. Well, I don't see any of that happening at all. All I do now is see that, you know, fisheries coming through telling us, making us feel warm and fuzzy, that this is what they're thinking of implementing, and we all know that they've got their agenda set, and these are just smoke and mirror consultations to say that they've done their consultation.
Yeah, okay. And that, again, linked to VMS, the way that it's been introduced, the questions that are still outstanding about confidentiality of information, the IP that fishermen develop over generations working in certain areas, none of those questions have been answered, and you've alluded to them in the in this podcast, David. Look, I appreciate your time on this. I'm going to hopefully have another post-harvest person to talk to about this, and I'll post these podcasts on the QSA media site for people to have a listen to. So thanks, Dave, for your time, and we'll catch everyone else on the next podcast. Thanks very much.
Okay, Eric. Thank you.